ride. Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hour three of the EA Show on the Animal is coming at you live from Green Meadow Wine and Spirits in Blount County. Right over here, Hunter's Crossing. Everybody knows where it's at. All the Blount County folk know where it's at because it's been here for over 10 years now. Right by Smokin' Joe's, kind of by the Lowe's.
Great selection. Craft beer, specialty.
I got 10 toes.
They have their special select.
Smell like a rose.
Right, one of the ones they hand-selected right next to us is an Avion 27-month barrel, number 149. They've got that set up right next to us. And Dripping Springs Vodka has given them a cooler.
Came through dripping.
And
drip,
some
drip.
Other cool stuff to give away. So they have a drawing for that. No purchase necessary. Come in and sign up here through the end of the day today. They're going to give it away tomorrow. But they've been signing people up for a week. Dripping Springs is out of Texas. And one of their varieties has an orange label that says Texas orange, but it actually looks Tennessee orange.
It does.
Oh, it's now that time
hey,
on Monday.
Real quick, before we get Joel to tell us everything we missed in high school football, Debbie just came in.
Yeah.
Listener, listens every day.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say thanks to her for coming in and telling us. Every time we come to Blount County, man, it's incredible how many people come out and support us. It's awesome. We appreciate that, for real.
And it's now time. It was kind of an off week for high school football. There were not nearly as many games as there normally are because of fall break last week. But Joel Silverberg is ready with the high school football report brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Joel, roll on with it, please.
Well, we still had some games last week as the playoff races are still heating up as we get deeper and deeper into regional play. But you're right. It's about 20 teams in the area that were off last week because of fall break. So last week, things got started on Thursday. Pigeon Forge beat Northview Academy 28-8. Austin East beat Gatlinburg-Pittman 32-17. That was the first loss of the season for Gatlinburg-Pittman. Bearden, after an 0-5 start, has worked its way back into the playoff conversation with a 42-22 win over Jefferson County. Dobbins Bennett is off to a 7-0 start after a 38-13 win over Farragut. Elizabethton over Union County 51-19. Granger County took down Chucky Doak 43-6. Greenback won the annual rivalry game against Coalfield 45-20. Greenville shut out Sullivan South 49-0. Harriman beat Midway 21-20. Kingston beat Scott 20-0. Excuse me, 21-20 for Harriman over Midway. 20-0 for Kingston over Scott. Catholic beat up on West Green 49-7. Fulton, this is really hard to believe. I can't believe I'm saying this. After 8 weeks into the season, Fulton gets its first win of the season, 36-13 over Clinton. Grace beat Chattanooga Christian 38-21. Maryville beat.
Wait, hold on. Slow down. What happened with Fulton?
Got their first win of the season with a 36-13 win over Clinton.
Wow. First win of the season at this point of the year.
I mean, yeah. I knew they were having a significantly worse year than they've had in any time recently, but I didn't realize that they hadn't won yet.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that senior class that they lost from last season just were not able to reload. It's been tough. They've been very competitive against some good teams in losses, but the season's had some lows. And so Fulton just now getting their first win over Clinton on Friday night. Maryville beat Bradley Central 42-7. McMinn Central beat Copper Basin 26-20. McMinn County 7-0. With a 42-7 win over Notre Dame. Morristown East beat Sevier County 21-18. Oliver Springs beat Sunbright 42-6. Oneida beat Kings Academy 28-21. Science Hill got a big region win over Morristown West 42-15. Sweetwater blanked Polk County 43-0. Workburg Central beat Jellicoe 61-20. And because of all the bye weeks, that means we're going to have a lot of big games coming up this Friday. It's hard to believe that we're already 9 weeks into the season, but here we are. And that's our high school football report brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control.
BlueWaterClimateControl.com. We'll put in a new unit at your home like they did for me, high efficiency. And I didn't realize as good as the high efficiency is for the cooling in the summer, the high efficiency for the heat in the winter is amazing because it kicks on, it gets you warm, boom, and then it kicks right off. The efficiency on it is amazing. And if you have gas heat like I do, that's a huge, huge cost savings. Can't wait to see what it is over the course of this fall and winter. But we have Blue Water Climate Control to thank for that.
I went and watched Catholic play this past
Friday night.
I only went for the first half because it was 49-0 at halftime. But that looked like a really, really good football team, man. Did you know? Yeah, I always talk about Tommy Winton. You know, mm-hmm. like he's the one that always said I went in reference to it. There are 11 players off of my CBFO 10 and under team that are on Catholic's varsity team, seven of which are starters.
Nice. How many of them have D1 offers?
They're all sophomores. So,
again, how many of them have D1 offers? I think it's all of them.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many like official offers Tommy Winton has, like actual offers. But I know that like Clemson doesn't offer people until after their sophomore year.
Officially.
Is that like what it is?
Officially.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where he's going. I bet. I know. But anyway, that's how cool is that? Like, I was sitting there because Hayden Todd, who's currently playing, I think, center, right? Because Cooper plays guard, even though he's going to play center in college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hayden, who was a freshman last year, started for him. And he was up at Kentucky this past weekend. I mean, Jarvis, there's a whole bunch of them. A fullback, two linemen. I was just sitting there watching them, and I was like, holy cow, I coached seven of those guys that were out there starting. And they're like, they're ballers, man. Catholic is, they're significantly better than their 5-2 record. I know that's not a bad record. Smithy's got them ranked third in his top 15.
Well, I mean, I don't know that you could say that they're better than Maryville Nicoya.
Yeah, and maybe not, but I'll bet Catholic.
Boy,
I
wish they could play them, both of those teams, for real in the regular seasons. That would be
healthy,
incredible,
healthy, full squad, full strength. That would be an amazing football game. How about West, though? West
yeah,
and
West
Powell.
7-0. I would love to see those top five in Jesse Smithy's rankings be able to face off against each other.
Maryville, Alcoa, right. Catholic, West, Powell. I mean, there's just
you go on down Anderson County, Central. Central's still rolling. Greenville, Loudon. I mean,
did you hear about this kid named Tyler Jeffries?
Yeah, at Greenback. Has an SEC offer now.
Look at that kid. That kid is a freshman in high school.
Country strong, man. Shout out to Greenback. 6'5", 285. Offer from Mississippi State. He might be able to start on their line right now.
He already benches like 350 pounds.
Yeah.
No, 305-pound bench press, 500-pound squat.
All right.
Freshman.
Ahead of a break, let's talk to Terry. Terry, thanks for holding on. Welcome into the EA show.
What's going on?
Terry, don't be a jerk this time.
Hey, listen.
Talk trash in a fun way.
Hey, listen, I called the Georgia State game, right? Y'all told me I was crazy. So I was just up there at the gas station with Tyler, right? So I told Tyler, he's talking about Wisconsin. I had my Buckeye sandals on with my Buckeye shirt. And so I told Tyler, I said, well, we're going to smack Wisconsin by 28. So I said, then you better start rooting for the Buckeyes. And he said how crazy I was once again, but I will pull this off. I think we're going to get them by 21. Even though I said 28, I think we're going to get them by 21.
Well,
but
when you said you're going to pull it off, you know you have absolutely nothing to do with whether they actually win or lose or what plays they call.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. We Buckeye Nation. We ain't even
you
Columbus
have,
City.
You
we
have
Buckeye Nation.
0%.
You've got to go beat Northwestern first.
With whether or not they win or not.
Go beat Northwestern first. Go beat Purple Vandy.
I love that you think you're a part of the
team. But listen, We are going to beat Northwestern by at least 25 to 30 points. That's not even the case. We're not worried about that.
I hope
it
you can pull that
Wisconsin.
Off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, Wisconsin.
You know that.
Wisconsin a week from Saturday. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Buckeye Jerry. Thanks. We appreciate it. We'll come back here to Green Meadow Wine and Spirits in Alcoa. More of the Eric Cain shows next. 656-9900 if you want to join us on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the EA Show with Brian Rice. We are live today from Green Meadow Wine and Spirits on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. It was such a fun weekend here in Knoxville over on campus. It was fun to get to. I was going around there. I ran into a bunch of people. I was even taking pictures with people, Brian, that weren't asking me to get in their pictures.
I'd like to point out that I'm 2-0 when I've been on your show. Both hosting in place of Tyler this week, and then when you went to the Auburn game last year, I was on with Tyler and Troy. And when you were gone earlier this year, I was on with Tyler, and we won. So, you know, somebody's got to go. I don't know if it's you or Tyler. Troy's good. Troy's my guy, so we're good there.
I have a feeling that that Tyler would probably be the one that would be removed from that.
Eh.
Game day, dude. You got to have me on game day.
We had fun, though.
We talked about my keys, my Papa Murphy's.
Yeah, let's remove your
keys
to the game.
First one was turnover margin. And for the first time in a football game that counts, we won the turnover battle. I mean, that to me was going to be – I didn't feel good about it after two red zone interceptions thrown caught in the end zone. I didn't feel good about it. Wasn't feeling good about it. But they threw three of them.
Yeah.
We only threw two. Now, the two we threw cost us points, but we did a good job of stepping up and bailing out the offense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what good football teams do. Good football teams allow the other side of the ball to make a bonehead blunder. And then, you know, on the flip side, you know, the defense gives up, like, the Florida-LSU game was the best example of this. Florida went on four straight 75-yard drives. Mm-hmm. Kickoff started at 25, and it was 10 plays, 12 plays, 13 plays. And every time they would do that, I'm sitting there going, LSU cannot go three and out right here, or that defense is going to get worn down to the point where a lesser football team is going to find a way to win. And sure enough, every time they did that, LSU went back out there and went 10 plays.
Yeah.
75 yards. So good on our defense for stepping up, taking the challenge when we put them in bad situations and not just, you know, giving up there. My second one was first down, early down production. And we did a good enough job on first down production. We didn't turn the ball over. Mississippi State had two turnovers on first down. That's brutal. That's brutal. I mean, you're turning the ball over. I mean, that's that we didn't give up any sacks on first down.
Mm-hmm.
So Mississippi State did give up a sack on first down. They had several negative play. We had a few, I don't know the exact number, but a few of our 10 tackles for loss happened on first down, which put them in long down and distances. So yes, I would say we won on first down. And here's where why this matters. We talked about it all week long that on third and manageable, Mississippi State's offense and defense was good. Third in the 1-6 range, both converting on offense, and then on the flip side, when their defense is out there, they do a pretty decent job in that. When you get to third and long, Mississippi State's defense was awesome. I mean, literally, they only gave up a first down 16% of the time, and we only had two third and nine or mores, Brian, in the game because we were doing a better job on first down, staying positive, getting yards, managing second down. Our average down and distance on third down, our distance to go, was third and 6.7 yards. So over the entire game, we had 15 third down opportunities. And in those 15 opportunities, the average was third and 6.7. For Mississippi State, it was 12 third downs, and they had an average distance to go of third and 9.5.
That's how you win football games.
And guess what? They were 4 for 4 converting on third and short, third and 1 to 4. When you go to third and 9 or more, they were 1 for 6. It's not that complicated, but, man, we executed it.
Yeah.
We did it right. We won the turnover battle. We did good on both sides of the ball on first down, defensively creating negative plays, sacks, turnovers. And then on the flip side, it was average, basically third and 10 every time. So no wonder we did a good job getting off the field there. They had five converted third downs throughout the game, and they had 12 opportunities, so 41% moving the chains there. That was really, really good.
Let's go to the phones at 656-9900 and talk to Josh. Josh, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, so real quick, I've got a question, but I want to throw out a little stat first. So Jeremy Pruitt is the first coach since Philip Fulmer to beat an SEC West school, and we have done it 2 years in a row since 2007-2008.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So my question is – oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a huge step forward just to be able to – go in and take care of business that you should take care of.
Absolutely. So my question is, Ainge, I remember when Chaney was here before, one of my favorite things that he would do to kind of slow down a bull rush would be to call a halfback screen where they would either just let the lineman pass the offensive line, or they'd give him like a little chip and then, you know, release and go set up the blocks for the screen. Why are we not running that anymore? It seems like, you know, every time we would do that with a bull rush like what we're seeing this year, we would get, you know, 6-7 yards. It keeps the defense – it keeps them honest from just, you know, pinning their ears back and hitting the gap so hard. So, I mean, why do you think we're not – I haven't seen us do that once this year.
They've done it some early – the problem is you want to hit a screen isn't just when you are like in general, when you're calling screen plays, you're calling it when they're, you want to call it when they're blitzing, not just when their organic 3 or 4 man rush is going, all right, it's 3rd and 9. So boy, here we come, because then the other 7 guys or 8 guys behind them are backpedaling with their eyes on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it needs to be man-to-man, and they need to be bringing pressure. Otherwise, a screen is just meh to me. I mean, if you call it on 1st and 10 and you call a little RPO bubble screen where you know, you're going to run the ball, and if the guy jumps inside or the backside backer moves, but you pop it out there, you know, that's a good call. But in that case, I mean, you're calling it where the bubble screen or the handoff is a 5-yard play. So, and, you know, when Chaney calls it in his mind, he's going, whether we hand it off or whether I throw, you know, we pop the bubble out there, we're looking at 2nd and 5. That's all I'm trying to do. If we make more, great. If we don't make it that much, then I need to know why. But you need teams to be playing man-to-man, and you need teams to be blitzing. Otherwise, screens just aren't worth doing. And Mississippi State played like maybe 10 snaps of man-to-man in that entire game. I mean, they just kept lining up in 2 deep looks with their same box, I mean, it looked like Bob Shoup was shaving points there at the end. I'm serious. Like, I don't know how he didn't change what he was doing, but I would wait until we play a team that's going to say we need to man these guys up and we need to blitz to get pressure on the quarterback because our rush can't get there. And I don't know, we may be in a position where we can do that. The pocket was clean several times when we threw the ball, but in this game, man, we only threw the ball, I'm looking here real quick, 14 times,
I think, yeah. 14 or 15.
Yeah. Maurer was 4 for 7, and Jarrett was 6 for 7. I mean, we were 10 of 14. We only threw the ball 14 times in the entire game. So this game wasn't a good example of why we should or shouldn't have thrown, or why we should have thrown the screens. But we'll play some teams that are going to try to man us up later.
Yeah, I feel like, just for me, I feel like it would have helped against maybe Florida's rush, like not necessarily to the wide receivers, but to the running back, letting the reason, lineman just run past and try to get to the second level. But I definitely understand what you're saying.
Yeah, the reason that I don't think it would have worked against Florida is because Florida, when they blitzed us early on the first couple drives, we gashed them. Jarrett got the ball out of his hand quick. And we had a bunch of yards after the catch, and so they stopped blitzing. And then as the game went on, they only had to their four down rush was generating enough pressure on us that they didn't have to. They were bringing three or four guys and dropping seven or eight in coverage every play. And I just it wouldn't have worked.
I gotcha.
Now, did you guys see the play, you know, Jarrett, when he threw the ball, was it Ramel Keaton, I think, the deep ball?
Yeah, the deep ball to Keaton.
Did you watch how he dropped back and he looked the safety off the whole way?
Yeah, he was looking left and then boom, threw right.
Snapped it back. Yeah. I don't know. I like pointing out the good plays he makes, too, since everybody always loves
that was he looked him off and dropped it in a bread basket for sure. That was a beautiful throw. Well, hey guys, I got to run in here. I appreciate the insight on it, Ainge.
Yeah, man.
Listen to your show all the time. Love it. Have a good one.
Thanks, bro.
Go Vols.
Yeah, go Vols. Wait until we play some of those teams that want to man us up and then feel like they got to blitz us to get to us. That's when you gash them with the screen.
We'll come back here to Green Meadow Wine and Spirits, 656-9900 if you want to join us on the Eric Ainge Show. Hunter's Crossing in Alcoa is where we are. Come in, sign up for the Dripping Springs Cooler. They're giving it away.
Came through dripping.
Tuesday. You can sign up for the rest of the day today, then they're drawing for it tomorrow. Cooler, mixers, T-shirts, and more from our friends at Dripping Springs. It's FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Sometimes I get good reminders why people say things sometimes, and I take everyone's opinion like I value people's opinions and what they say. Sometimes when it comes to football, they're really bad.
Yeah,
but that's okay. It's still there, or you know, opinion. But we were just talking. You were just communicating.
Talking about Nigel Warrior
with the owner here at Green Meadow.
Talking about Nigel Warrior, and somebody taught him football because his football IQ went from zero to.
There's a brown thing in the sky.
A bunt, but yeah, he said that in the postgame. That probably wasn't great, but his football IQ has come out of nowhere,
drastically improved, and it seems like his attitude anyway. And then we were talking that led to a conversation about Dale Carter. To which Bad Take Andy followed up with,
living up to the name.
Who are they talking about? And I said, Dale Carter. And he said, who's Dale Carter? I dropped my pen. I put my head in my hands, like you can hear happening right now. And I just made sure that Bad Take knew he was never allowed to have a sports opinion on anything
ever again. We told him.
I didn't realize he played for five different teams in the NFL. He played for the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Saints, and the Ravens from 92.
I mean, he was ridiculous.
2005.
There were guys that came off those 89, 90, 91, because they had the 89 reunion this weekend. there were guys on those teams that were just incredible. I mean, Dale Carter did it in special teams and did it on defense and did it on offense here. Carl Pickens was another guy who at times had to play both. I mean, he was...
Carl Pickens is the only guy... I saw someone's tweet about it. I think you were said something to, in it, too. He had, in the last four games in that 89 season...
A pick and a touchdown pass. Or a touchdown catch,
he had an
me.
Interception and a touchdown reception in four straight games. What?
Yeah.
No wonder they were able to... Was it 88 that they went 0-6?
Yeah.
And then won, and then 89 was when they came.
Yeah, and some of those guys were redshirting in 88, and that was why they were so bad. But, you know, it was kind of the stay the course. And it was a lot easier to say stay the course with Johnny Majors at a national championship than it is with anybody else. But, you know, when I look at this team, I see guys that have continued to buy in.
Uh-oh, come on with it. I see where you're taking this thing.
They continue to buy in. I don't know what the rest of the season is going to look like, but I would virtually guarantee you that it's not going to fall apart like it did the last two games of last year. And everybody wants the quick fix, and I think there could have been some shortcuts they could have taken to a quicker fix. But I'm going to go back to give me the water carrying for Jeremy Pruitt statement, but I think he has dedicated to building it the way he wants to build it. He knows he's not going to be judged ultimately by his boss over the first 2 years, and they're going to be ready to take a step next year because they built it the right way. What does that look like? I don't know. I'm not going to make record predictions for next year here in October of this year, but it would be very easy for a team to check out on their head coach and their teammates with what they've gone through, and instead they've gotten better every week. Now, they've left some guys along the way. That's part of the conversation because that's happened. But, the old Bo Schembechler was, those who stay will be champions. Well, those who have stayed have continued to get better. Every week is better. 3 weeks ago, Nigel Warrior was a guy that, you know, why is he even on the field? Let's just play a young guy and see what happens. Now he's making game-changing plays.
So I always listen to Jimmy Himes and Tim Irwin Sunday mornings to help frame. Judge Irwin he helps me frame some of my thoughts when I hear him talk. Mm-hmm. I really, really respect his opinion. And often, 99% of the time, it just validates what I'm thinking because I hear him say the same thing. And I'm like, all right, good. I'm on the right page. Tons of respect for him anyway. They were talking about how Irwin was talking about how that was his kind of football game. Mm-hmm. You know, it was an offensive, and he said, I guarantee you, Philip Fulmer was sitting there watching that game thinking the same thing. This is my kind of football game. This is a SEC conference game, and I'll be darned if it wasn't won at the line of scrimmage, and we watched what happens when you have a three or four down lineman that can get to the other team's quarterback and get to the running back in the backfield. Like Pruitt said, we played the game on their side of the line of scrimmage. It is not a very hard football game. It's not very hard to play this game when you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think that was probably, and the Pruitt to Chaney, I mean, you never know how it's actually said, but I think Chaney's smart enough to do this anyway, but I guarantee the head coach said something. Run, 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 punt. Run, 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 punt. Maybe run RPO, RPO, punt, mm-hmm. You know, where you're giving them an option anyway on 2nd and 7 and 3rd and 4. But that was executed perfectly. You have a small lead. I mean, it's not like we were killing them. You know what I mean? And then you go from barely being ahead to being willing to just hand it off. That's hard to do, man, because you are putting that amount of stress on your defense every time that, hey, we're not even really – it's not that we're playing give up because Bob Shoop was being stupid and not making it hard on us at all. So it was actually the right play calls, but I think we would have called them anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That was one of the best coaching jobs. That and Auburn and Kentucky from last year. Auburn, because it was so quiet that he was yelling out the plays and screaming to the defense, and they could hear him. We could hear him in the stands, and the guys were all over the place. That coaching performance and this one this past weekend were – you could give the head coach a game ball, and it would be well-deserved.
They were able to sustain it for a couple of weeks last year against South Carolina in a loss, which I still would argue was the most complete game they played all last year, and then went over Kentucky. Then it kind of fell apart. The guys that weren't playing or the guys that were being criticized kind of took it out. I don't think those guys are there, and if they are, they don't have a voice anymore.
I think there's a couple that are, in my opinion, but I don't think that they mentally are anywhere near where they were last year.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest. I think Nigel Warrior has been one of those guys. I think he's been hard to get to buy in. I think he's a little jaded because these guys get a new coach every single year that they're here.
Yep.
And I think it's taken him a little longer to trust. And I think that seems pretty normal when you say it out loud, but I think that he has now. And I think you're seeing, I mean, that's cool, man.
And
Tyler Bird.
The things that he said after the game, we talked about Tyler Bird earlier, but what Nigel Warrior said after the game, what was the difference between last week or this week and weeks prior? Quote, practice, it was practice. Throughout practices starting from last week, we practiced with more intensity, more communication, and it was a different vibe. Guys wanted to play football, and Coach Rocker said when we were younger, we all had that little boy that just wanted to play football no matter what. We came out to play like those little boys that were in the front yard, backyard, actually wanting to go ball out and touch the ball. He's bought in, and you've seen how much that's paid off for him the last few weeks.
And it showed. Trayvon Flowers, interception.
Yeah, you hate that he's now hurt.
That was a great play. Our safeties, and I in the pregame, you asked what was the position, you know, what was going to happen, and I said corners.
Yeah,
and I'll be darned if Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor and Sean Schamberger out there sacking the quarterback.
Had a great day.
Knocking balls down, setting the edge in the cover two run game. It was great to be a Tennessee Vol on Saturday.
We'll come back, find out what we learned today.
It's great.
Check in with Sports 180 and get you set for Jeremy Pruitt's press conference next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
You said we're ready like that was both of us. I peaked. I've checked out.
Yeah, you were. Well, you were.
I dominated today. I killed today. Yeah. Great show. Dominated it.
What did we learn today? We only have about 2 minutes. What did we learn today?
That at 11:46, I was Dunsky.
We learned that Tennessee had a good performance this weekend, and now they need to follow it up this next weekend.
Yeah, man, is it 9 or 9:30 that we kick off?
9 o'clock.
9?
It's going to be great. We got a Niner.
9
Did I catch a Niner in there?
O'clock.
Yes, I did.
A lot of people go to college for 7 years.
They're called doctors. What else did we learn today?
We learned that we have some veterans on this football team that have seen a lot of ups and downs, and I think people like Jarrett Garantano, Tyler Bird, Nigel Warrior, people that have been cussed up and down, left and right, deserve a lot of credit for sticking with it and still going out there. And I believe when Jarrett and Nigel and Tyler Bird, when they slap the sign right now, don't you believe that they mean that?
Yeah.
I do. I know I do.
I do.
Everyone over there that's still on the team that you see out there playing, I believe that they all do.
All right, thanks to Green Meadow Wine and Spirits for having us out. We appreciate them. Come in the rest of the day today. You can register for the Dripping Springs Cooler. They're having the drawing on Tuesday. It's got some cool stuff in it as well, right here next to Smokin' Joe's in Hunter's Crossing in Alcoa. We'll be back here in Will County on Wednesday. Gray Hodges, we're in the studio tomorrow. But thanks to everybody here, Eric, and the whole crew, Green Meadow, for having us out. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Eric Haines Show.
I said it's great.
Sports Radio, WNML.